and a servant. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1. No, go down to verse number 18. Verse 18. I want to go with verse 1. 2 Peter, is that 2 Peter 1? No, 2 Peter 1, 1. Give me 2 Peter 1, 1 first. Thank you. I wanted that. Simon Peter, and this is Peter now, who says, I too am a servant. I'm also an apostle of Jesus Christ, but I'm a servant, I'm a slave. He recognized too he was a slave. Now, 1 Peter 1:18 is what I wanted. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. What does the Bible say? For as much as you know that you were not redeemed or purchased. Now, Paul says we've been bought with a price. But you need to know that you were not purchased with corruptible things. He says, like silver and gold. You don't belong to God because God bought you with gold. You don't belong to God because God purchased you with silver. And he bought you from your vain life, a conversation received by the traditions of your fathers. Next verse. He says, but you was purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Christ shed his blood. And because of the shedding of his blood, as a lamb without blemish, without spot, when you said, I am lost, when you recognize I am in sin, when you recognize my relationship with God is impossible now because of my life that I have and the sin that I have, I don't have any means of getting rid of my sin. My sin is my problem. God has offered a solution. He's willing to purchase you. He's willing to buy you. He's willing to bring you into the covenant with him, but he's going to do it with a transaction of his blood. And when you accept what God has given you and says, I want salvation, I want forgiveness of my sins, I want to receive the peace that I know comes from God. God says, I'm willing to give it to you, but it's coming at a price. The price is my son's blood. And when he purchases you and you are born again into the family, you no longer own your life. Your life is not your own. You are a slave. Now, I'm giving you a minute to try to get your head around the slave thing. Because being a slave, when you understand it, to God, and by the way, you're going to either be a slave to God or you're going to be a slave to Satan. You're going to serve somebody. You cannot live in this world without serving somebody. Now choose you this day who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve God through Jesus Christ? Are you going to serve the devil? By the way, if you're going to serve the devil, you ain't got to do nothing else. You're good. Just keep on living. But if you're going to serve Christ and God, you need to understand what servitude is all about. You need to understand what are the expectations that your master, my master, our master has for us. You need to understand and feel good about what and how God has structured our life as a slave. And then you got to live it accordingly. With that understanding in mind. Now, because we really don't value and appreciate or even consider the fact that our life doesn't belong to us, it gives us liberty to do, think, and act like we running stuff. Like I can do, I have the right to do, I am able to do, I am, because you got free will, I have the ability to do, and you can't tell me how to live my life. And there's nothing truer than that. I cannot tell you how to live your life. All I can tell you is this. If you plan to serve God as a slave, then God can tell you how he wants you to serve him. And if you don't choose to serve him like God says you ought to serve him, then you become to God an unprofitable slave. You become a disobedient slave. You become a rebellious slave. You become, have I described, you're a bad slave. I don't need no more adjectives. You're just a bad slave. Now, our depictions of servitude that we have from history show us that slaves that don't comply to the master's bidding. We're not talking about whether they're just or unjust. I'm talking about comply. When you belong to somebody else and they have the right to dictate what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, when you get up and when you're going to bed, how long you work, and when you can take off. And when you are owned by somebody and they have the legal right to your life and you refuse to comply, then they have a right to mistreat you, to abuse you, to punish you because you are their property. Everybody with me? Y'all relax. I'm going to get in the word in just a second. Y'all hang on. So, when we see and have those feelings of, I shouldn't have to do this, like this, but I really don't have a say-so over it because the master says, amen, this is the way he wants it. And when master says it, if you don't comply, I'm talking about being a slave, human slave, then there are consequences. Amen? And they're not pretty. Now, when you go to the spiritual realm, and Peter says, I'm a slave. And Paul says, I'm a slave. And get James 1:1. James 1:1. James chapter 1, verse 1. And Peter says, I'm a slave. Paul says, I'm a slave. And James says, James, a slave. a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a slave for God. They have no problem acknowledging I have a master. But he ain't like no other master I've ever known. He knows how to take care of his slaves. He knows how to treat his slaves. And I don't mind doing anything he asks me, because he never asks me to do anything that's not in my best interest. He's not going to have me to act in a way that's going to injure me or anybody else. He cares for me. He's a master that loves me. And I lay down my life for him because he laid down his life for me. And so I want to talk about the life of a slave. I think you're kind of getting in your mind slavehood now, master slave. But you got it? Everybody with me? Let's watch the life of a slave. Verse number 14 of Matthew chapter 25. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man traveling into a far country. The Bible says, who called his own slaves. He called his slaves. He called his servants. They're his. He owns them. They belong to him. And he gives them some. He's getting ready to travel into a far country. And he entrusts his servants with his valued property. He didn't give them a menial task. He didn't say, we'll be going and I want you to wash the floors. And no. I am entrusting you with my inheritance, my valued property. So he called them and they came willingly. There was no fear or trepidation coming toward the master. There was no fear when they heard his voice. There was no concern of a possible abusive situation. The master is calling. There was no fluttering of the heart. There was no feeling of despair. There was only love, because he's a great master. He is the greatest master. And everybody who knows him just want to serve him, because he's so good. So he calls his servants. And he says, servants, I'm getting ready to give you something, because I'm getting ready to leave for a long time. And so I'm entrusting you, slaves. You're my slaves. And I'm entrusting you with my goods, because I'm going away for a long time. And I know you're going to take care of my goods. What an honor. What an honor to be called by the master and given great responsibility. Great confidence is displayed, because a great trust is given. I am giving you my goods. I know you will do the right thing. I'm not going to stand over you. I'm not going to watch over you. I'm getting ready to go, but I'm giving you my goods. And I'm going to take my leave, knowing that as a good servant, you are going to do right by my goods. And so, the Bible says, under one of those servants, slaves, he gave 5 talents. He gave 5 talents. And to another one of the slaves, he gave 2 talents. And to another one of his slaves, he gave 1 talent. But he's not just indiscriminately giving out talents. He knows his slaves. He knows them well. He knows their ability. He knows their capacity. He knows their giftedness. He knows what they are able to do. So he doesn't give one more than he can handle. He gives them, the Bible says, according to that servant or slave, several ability until the capacity that the slave has. He does not endow a slave with more than they can handle. He does not place on a slave more expectation than the slave can fulfill. He would be unjust to expect a slave to do more than he's capable of doing. So he's a good, wise master. So he only gives the slave what he can handle. And straightway, he leaves and leaves them with his goods. Straightway, he takes his journey. The Bible says, then, which is an adverb of time, he that had received the 5 talents, in the original language, it reads, and immediately, as soon as the master gave him the talents, he looked at what he had, understood what the master expected, and immediately, he that received 5 talents, he went and he traded. He did transactions with those talents. He utilized those talents. He engaged with those talents. And because of the way he engaged or utilized the talents, he produced 5 additional talents. Now, this was over a long time because he was going to be gone a long time. But he immediately took off, started utilizing. Why? Because I've been entrusted. And I'm a slave, and I love my master, and my master loves me. He's given me, he's entrusted me with these gifts, talents. And I am not going to let my master down. Whenever he comes back, however long it is, whether 1 month, 1 year, 10 years, it doesn't matter, however long it is, I want my master to find me working with his goods, using his goods, utilizing his goods, because I've been entrusted as a slave. And I'm a good servant to my master, because he's a good master to me. Then the Bible says, likewise, he that received 2 talents, He did just like the one with the fire. He didn't sit around and say, well, why did he give me just two? He always gives the other one more. He didn't give me the same. And I'm just as good as the other. No, no, no. He didn't spend any time analyzing why the master only gave him two. All he knew is that the master gave him two, and I'm responsible for two, so let me go and go to work. So he did likewise, and immediately he started to work with the talents that he had. So much so that he produced two other talents with the talents that he had. Everybody with me? Life of a slave. But he that received one talent that the master entrusted because of his ability with one, only one. All he had to do was just be responsible with the one. Utilize the one. God didn't expect him to do more than he could, so he only gave him what he needed to use, one. But he got the one. And rather than put that one to use for the master, he digged a hole in the earth and buried his Lord's money. Hid it, buried it, and he went on about his business. Well, what is he doing? Whatever he wants to do. Because he has nothing to do with the talent. He got that put up. So his life now is spent doing whatever he pleased. While the five-talent man is working with the talents. While the two-talent man is working with his talents. The one-talent man is watching the five-talent man and the two-talent man work. He'll not have the capacity to be able to understand and recall whatever you need to recall and do it in such a way that you are excelling in school. You are utilizing the master's gifts. If you have gone on to higher education and you've achieved some high learning degree, I want you to understand that the ability you use to get what you got to put on your wall, you didn't originate it. You are utilizing the master's stuff. If you are working on a job and they saw your skills and say, based on your skills, we are willing to give you X number of dollars and we see that you are worth so much more, we're going to give you a bonus. I want you to understand that bonus you got, that money you are receiving because of what the master, your master, has given you. You did not design yourself. You did not give you what gifts you got. The gifts you got were given to you by your master and maker. And when you come to understand that he gave you everything, I mean everything, then nothing or no thing you have is not subject to him. Even your life. Let me tell you what our challenge is while I'm right into here. We want the benefit of salvation, But we do not want the commitment of slaving. We want him to bless us mightily, but we don't want to serve him unconditionally. We want all the benefits of glory, but we don't want to pay the price of sacrifice, dedication, commitment. We want him to bless us, honor our prayers, forgive us of our sins when we finally come and tell him that we're wrong. But we don't want him to dictate our daily life. And we won't surrender to his will. Because we still think our life belongs to us. We still act like, I go to church, yeah, I want that, but I'm running things here. Yeah, I want a little of that salvation, I want that, but I'm doing it my way. But the master said, well, forget the master. I'm the master of my life. Really? The Bible says, verse number 19, after a long time, the Lord of the slaves came back. After a long time, he came back with purpose. Purpose was this: I gave you some. What you do with it? I gave you something. How'd you use it? I gave you some. Give an account of it. Give an account of what? Everything. What do you have that wasn't given to you? Tell me what one thing you have that was not given to you. What do you have? Then if everything was given to you, you gotta give an account of all of it. All of it. All of your money, give an account how you use it. All of your talents, give an account how you use it. All of your gifts, give me an account what you did with them. All of your influence, give an account how'd you use it. Everything you got, you're going to have to give. Paul hijacks him and his truck. Takes him down the road. Driving crazy through traffic. Shooting at the police. Police shoot back at him. When it's all said and done and the smoke clears and the guns are holstered, the man driving dead and the UPS driver dead and somebody driving on the street dead. Yes, sir. You don't know. Just heard this morning. Somebody that needed a ride home called a dependable Lyft, Uber, whatever. And they driving home like folk do or wherever they going. And there's somebody on the highway that is drunk and driving. Now, you know, whenever you're drunk and driving, you know that's a bad combination, right? If you got to get drunk, don't drive. All right, and endanger somebody. If you just got to do it and lose your capacity Don't drive. But anyway, I guess he didn't have a way home. And so he started driving and hit one car, hit the passenger of the person riding home, and the family is here. Part of the family is here. You don't know where. You just know it's coming. You don't know how. But whenever it comes, reckoning is coming. Everybody has to give a day of reckoning. Reckoning. You can't be just comfortable with just getting here in time for service. Your greatest commitment to your master is, I want to make sure I commune. I want to make sure I at least get to a service. I may not pay attention when I come, but I want you to know I was there. I was in the house. I may not really give him my best while I'm here, but you know he understands, you know, I'm busy. And I got a lot going on in my life. And I got to keep up with it. And everything that flashes on face this and that and everything else, I need to know what's going on. You know? But the master said, worship me in spirit. The master said, give me your spirit. In other words, don't just show up, but come here ready to give me your best. Because you're a slave and you belong to him. So he came, the Bible says. And verse number 20, and so he that had received five talents came. Master's here. Great. Let me show. He came and brought the five and said, Master, here's another five talents. You gave me five. I took what you gave me and I utilized it, and look what I got for you. I got you five more. The Lord said unto him, well done. Verse 21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I left you entrusted with five. I knew I gave it to the right person. Look at how you blessed me. You brought benefit back to me. Well done. You know what? You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler. Wait a minute. The master telling the slave, I'm going to make you a ruler. The master telling the slave, because you was faithful with what I gave you, little, I'm going to give you more responsibility. And you're going to rule now over a lot of things. And not only that, I want you to enter into the joy of the Lord. Wait a minute. The phrase, the joy of the Lord. The Lord is the master. The master says, I want you to, not only am I going to make you a ruler, but I want you to participate in the joy that I have. I want you to live like me. I want you to live around me. I want you to have what I have. I want you to experience what I experience. I want you to have joy like I have. Joy. The joy of the Lord. Come on and live the good life with me. You ain't gonna be treated like a slave no more. I'm gonna bring you into my company and you're gonna live like me. And into the joy of the Lord. Everybody with me? This is the life of a slave now. This is a slave. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. Look what I did for you, Lord. You blessed me with this, but I got this hand. What are you doing to bring blessing to the kingdom? What can you say to the master that you are doing to bring increase to the kingdom? Okay, have you talked to anybody about him? Have you told him, anybody, how he's a good master? How he treats you so good. Not only does he forgive you of all your sins, but he puts you in a covenant relationship with his son and makes you a joint heir with him. He's a good master. Who have you told about him? Your master. Wait a minute, you mean you don't tell anybody about him? Does anybody know you even know him? When things go well in your life, do you chalk it up to luck or do you give him credit for blessing you? Do you say, the Lord made a way when I was sick, didn't know how I was going to get out? Do you say, well, the medication that I took, no, the Lord made a way? Do you give your master credit for anything? What value you bring it to the master? He says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you rule also over many. Come on in and experience joy with me. Yes, sir. Come and live like I live. Come and act with me. Come and share in my joy. But then he which had received the 1 talent, he came and he said, now, I know y'all been celebrating, Lord. You know, this ain't going to be the same kind of conversation, Lord. Now, Lord, now I know. I know you. You see, you've been my master a long time. And I know you. And I know you're a hard master. You're so hard that you reap, you expect to get a crop that you hadn't even sown. You expect to gather where you're not even straw. You ain't even put a crop there, but you're going to gather. You're looking for something. That's the kind of man you are. And I know that. And he said, and I was afraid. Wait a minute. I was afraid. You see, some folk are afraid to live like a slave. Well. Some folk are fearful to act like a slave. What are people going to say when I give God everything? How are they going to look at me when I totally commit to doing his will? What are they going to say when I stop compromising? When I know I'm compromising? I was afraid. I was afraid. I was afraid of you. I was afraid to go out and do. I was afraid of how to act. I was just afraid. And you know, I just took what you gave me and I buried it. Put it in earth. And I heard you were coming. And so I went in and I knew where it was. So I went and digged it up. I cleaned it up. I polished it up. And here is thou that thou hast given me. Here it is, Lord. See, look at it. It's just like you gave it. Here it is, Lord. Just like you get. Here it is, Lord. I got it up. Here it is. Life of a slave. Lord answered him and said, you're wicked. Wait a minute. But I bought you with a price. I paid the debt of your sins. All I asked you to do was use what you had for me until I come back. And because you wouldn't do it, what you've been doing all the time I've been gone, you're wicked and you're slothful. You think just because you had to work for me, it was too hard? Listen, you knew that I reap where I sow not. You knew where I gather where I'm not strong. You told me in your own words, I have expectations from you. I'm expecting you to do something. Because I gave you something. And I'm expecting you to use it. I need to say this quickly. There are so many people in this body right now with so many gifts, and we're sitting on the sideline, not utilizing the gifts, but you're making money with them. You're taking care of your family with them. You're living the life with them. What you gonna do when you got to give an account of them? And you've used them everywhere but for God. Thou wicked. You see, you ought to have taken what I gave you and took it to the money exchangers. And I would have some interest at least. In other words, God is expecting every slave to do something that brings him and his kingdom value. Now, take that talent from him. Give it to the one that hath 10. For unto everyone that hath, when God gives you, and you utilize, you're going to be given and you're going to have abundance. When you do and use what God gives you, he'll give you some more. But from him that have not, take that he hath is going to be taken away from him. You know what? And throw this unprofitable servant, unprofitable slave, brings no value to me and my household. He does nothing of value to me. And can it be said of you that, yes, you call him master, but you are bringing no value? No value can you show the master for you being in the kingdom? Life of a slave. Listen. If you are here, fellow slaves, my fellow slaves, we are part of God's family as slaves. And if you are here and you have not understood, first of all, that you've been purchased, and I came by here this morning to tell you that you're going to have to give an account for the purchasing. If you're here and you know you have not been living like a slave that loves his master should live, God, I want to submit to you that God is the best master that anybody could ever have. Jesus Christ is the best brother and advocate that we could ever have. And his blood is continuously available to make sure that we never have a problem with our relationship with God because of sin. And with all of that being done, you mean to tell me you are not going to bring him value? So if you're here, and you know that if you had to give an account right now, you'd be wanting. And you may be professed unprofitable servant. Listen. It's time out for not doing your best because you don't like somebody. It's time out for you not giving your best because you don't like some things. You're not working for anybody but him. And when you get your mind off of other folk and put your mind on him, you can go on and do what you can do because he gave you the ability to do. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, I want to invite you to become a part of the greatest family of slaves. Happy slaves. Contented slaves. Slaves that love their master. And I want to suggest to you there's no master like God. He loves you so much that he's given you everything. And the greatest gift he's given you is access to his son's blood. And you come by hearing the good news that he died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. If you're willing to repent of your sins, confess him as Lord and surrender to baptism. Because Jesus said, if you believe and you're baptized, I'll save you. And when he saves you, his blood purchases you and you become a part of the family of slaves, the kingdom of slaves. It's called the church. The Church of Christ. Whoever you are, wherever you are,